It's jobbing out technically. my voice doesn't sound good, which is a problem because that's what I do for a living. So
I was gonna say it's not a problem for this podcast, it's a problem for tomorrow.
No, yeah, it's a problem. I've been doing a lot of show, and I went to a Jimmy Eat World show this week, and you know,
how's that?
Tell the truth.
Well, I was there for Jimmy Eat World, Brandon.
What show did you go to?
I saw the Fallout Boys. They were lovely.
You went to the Fallout Boys show.
The Fallout Boys.
Stunningly, actually, what I would tell you is I was expecting it to be just a Fallout Boys show. Jimmy Eat World played for an hour. It was wild. They really treated him as damn near a co-headliner. As you should, but you know.
Did you see Bob Mulligan?
I did. They were great. I really liked them. Fantastic. Really liked them. I'm not a Fall Out Boy fan. I don't dislike them.
I'm more of an old school, first two albums.
Yeah, but I gotta be honest with you.
They have songs.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying is true. I would tell you, I don't really love anything that isn't Sugar We're Going Down. Like, I just don't love any other Fall Out Boy song.
Dance. You don't like that song?
I would go the opposite way with that. I would say really? I really dislike
really?
It. Yeah.
There's so many good songs on that album.
There are other songs that, I don't dislike the way that I dislike Dance. Dance to me is about as song for the sake of being a song as there is.
Ooh.
There's just nothing there.
Disagree.
Yeah, I was going to say strong
hard
disagree.
Y'all can have it. y'all may have.
Wait. What about
my Why songs? Don't what you show do in
the dark?
Me?
My songs Know What You Do in the Dark is fine.
Sports Anthem.
Fine. Yeah, Light 'Em Up. It's fine.
They've
Uma Thurman Centuries. Come on.
Centuries to me is the height of. We figured out that if we just make a certain type of song,
well, Centuries absolutely because it was on every single promo ever.
And sports but and by movies.
The Yeah, Glenn, totally what I was going to say is that's the era of Fall Out Boy where they just figured out how to do a Monday Night Football song.
Well, it can't. It,
what
some
about
point,
Thanks for the Memories?
That one I do like. I will give you that one. It's not special. The only one that's special of that group to me is Sugar Bowl Going Down. But yeah. I like Thanks for the Memories much more than any of the other songs.
The same as scene. It's a goddamn arms race.
I would say I'm more neutral. The songs you guys named before that, I tell you I openly dislike. I don't dislike the Santa scene. I don't mind it. And by the
Is your boy tonight? I hope he is a gentleman.
What's that song called? It's the
Grand Theft Autumn.
Okay, yeah, I don't. Whatever. there was one song that I hadn't heard before, and I heard it for the first time, and it's a new one apparently. And I would tell you that unlike literally every other Fall Out Boy song, I actually think it's special.
New record is quite good. I'm not going to lie. The new record is quite good.
It's called So Much for Stardust.
Yeah.
And
first song on the new record. So you're all about Stardust.
There you go. That is a good point. That is probably what it is. I think their music is very forgettable. It just exists. It's fine. I can't imagine choosing to like Fall Out Boy more than any other post emo band.
They are a great free Fremont Street band.
That's sort of how I would feel, but these people were not paying free.
No, what are you talking about? They're way bigger than that.
They're bigger than that.
I know exactly what Aaron was trying to say.
That's the vibe of how much you like them.
If they're in a festival, if they're otherwise free, if they're kind of that, yes, 100%.
Yeah, I could have a worse time than watching Fall Out Boy. I could think of things that would be more painful than that. They're not. If they're sort of like Imagine Dragons, there's two songs that I think are really good, and then everything else just kind of exists to exist.
Too bad. Come on.
What?
They're not like Imagine Dragons.
That's exactly how I feel about them. It's exactly how I feel about
them. Those are all fighting words.
I God bless you, man. If you love Fall Out Boy, I'm not mad. There are lots of people that do.
No, but Fall Out Boy has two pretty much agreed upon classic front to back records.
Front to back?
The first two. Take This to Your Grave and From Under the Cork Tree are two pretty much like top tier classic pop punk albums. Like they're up there with like Enema of the State.
Maybe ooh, for you, man.
Go look at every list. If that's the case,
I would tell you I think it's insane. Like I just don't. I cannot fathom that. There, the music is largely just music. It's not special. I don't know what to say. Like I wish I could tell you. I really had this conversation. I can't believe whatever. This is way more compelling than anything that happened in pro wrestling this week. It was a dud ass week. So bear with us. We're talking through this. This is the show we do. What I would say is, if that's true, it says to me that no one actually cares about music. Like I mean that. The music doesn't, there's nothing about them that stands out in some sort of way that makes it special. It's just there. Now, in fairness, someone actually could say that about early Blink 182. So in a weird way, if the statement isn't really about the music and just for whatever reason, those records clicked with certain people of a certain age at that time, despite the fact that the music doesn't really stand out, I guess I could get that. Because the truth is, and nobody wants to admit this now, the music wasn't necessarily what was making Blink 182 special. It was the way we were connecting with it at a certain period in time. The music actually got a lot better for Blink 182 as the years went on. Like, for the most part, it was just fun, kind of silly pop music at the beginning. And we all liked that because we were young and it was a good thing. So I don't know if that's what I'm missing with the Fall Out Boy thing, is that it just wasn't my time for that. But, man, the music is just there. It's just, man, I'll never get it. I'll never, but I'm telling you,
Have you actually listened to their music or just radio songs?
No, I've listened. Well, I mean, the radio songs I think are dreadful, but I've listened to their music. I listened to their music last night for 2 hours. And I'm saying,
have you listened to like an album from front to back?
I think when the first album came out and I was as excited as everybody else was, look, every white person of a certain age group can when you hear Sugar We're Going Down, it puts you in a place. It's that special of a song. So when it was happening, I attempted it and I just sort of said, wow, there's nothing really else here. It's not for me, which is fine. Like, I don't begrudge.
Do you not like Newfound Glory either?
What are you talking about?
So wait. Who's the wrestling equivalent of this? Now I've been spending the past couple minutes trying to figure this one out.
Good. Oh, nobody would like it when I say it.
Say it.
No, because that's not fair, because I do think that there was a time where Edge was really special. So I'm going to take that back. I think that Edge for a minute was really special, and I don't think the Fall Out Boy in any way is special. God, who would be a good equivalent for this?
Now, I've been literally the past 2 minutes I've been silent because I've been racking my brain trying to figure this one out.
Who's someone that like had, is it Batista? Is that the comparison?
Could be Batista. Like, I'm not against that.
Like some fun there, but there's not a lot of depth.
I mean, it could almost be Triple H before like.
Too important, but yes. But like,
no, I think as Batista, a wrestler, I mean.
I think Batista works. I think Batista works. You can tell the story, just like you could tell the story of music without Fall Out Boy. You can tell the story of wrestling without Batista, but notably important for a slight chance of time.
And yet not a lot of depth. Like, it's not like there was anything that Batista was doing that was very special. Like,
he looked cool.
Yes. He had a cool entrance. Like, he looked the part. We were all like, oh yeah, that makes sense that guy would be like, he's chiseled. I'm all in on that. All right. I don't know what just happened here. I have no idea other than, if the Fall Out Boys find this, I won't be invited to the party. I do like that song. That song.
Glenn just got canceled.
Yeah, man. Imagine if this is what brought me down. Like, of all of the things, not the time I admitted to doing that thing with that picture of Kurt Angle. All right. Whatever. Pro wrestling. I don't care. And it's. I don't. We're getting three championship matches, two of which have no build, the other of which is nobody wants. So, like, what are we doing?
What's the one that nobody wants?
Yeah, what's the one no one wants?
Ilya and D'Angelo.
Oh, you're talking about NXT. Okay, gotcha.
I meant three heavyweight championship matches.
There we go.
Two of which they have no build for. The third of which no one. The only one they're actually doing a build for is the one that no one cares about. So. I got
the funny thing, and I actually kind of want to start there, is like the Tony D'Angelo thing, it kind of
that's where you want to start.
Mainly because I don't think there's anything else to say about the other two. What else is there to say about the other two that we haven't said?
I would say, because obviously they don't know that they're doing a Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns match. The match that they're building towards is of course the Cody Rhodes Rock Championship match.
Yes. Now, granted, that can change as of tomorrow. We're recording Thursday night.
To Aaron's point, we're recording this Friday morning. So they are going to do a face. They're going to bring face to face, which is a hell of an idea. 2 weeks ahead of time to finally say, "Hey, these are the two guys that are in the championship match that's supposed to bring an end to a reign that's gone on for years. Maybe we have them like interact once. Maybe there's an attempt at that. It's not." To the point, it's better than nothing, but it's so unfathomably sad that that's the bar that we're at, is nothing, that like, hey, if you attempt to do something, I guess that's good, but you absolutely are out of time to try to tell a compelling story that was worthy of Roman Reigns losing his championship to Cody Rhodes here. So you failed there, you're going to do it anyway, it is what it is, we'll all watch, that's... And everybody else is going to love it. I'm just going to be the only
And let's be honest, it'll be the most important segment of the week, to the point where I briefly considered saying, hey, should we do this on Saturday? And I was like, well, then what will we do the next week? So that would be dumb.
Right. We got that. So the thought being, the story, the match they have been telling a story for is, of course, Cody Rhodes versus The Rock, which is weird because, to my knowledge, we're not doing that match. But whatever, they have really been pushing quite well for Cody
Rhodes. It's The Rock. Like, at some point, we have to acknowledge the fact that if The Rock was going to, like, The Rock shouldn't be involved, but if The Rock was going to be involved, he was going to be the most important figure in this.
Right,
we have
but
to
it's,
acknowledge that.
Did you ever think we'd get to a point where The Rock was on TV more than Roman Reigns?
Honestly, yes. If you had The Rock, yes.
Okay, let's talk about everything that was just said there. Because, Aaron, you're close to something that's right, but you don't just get to say it as fact and not deal with the
right.
fact.
It's like, right. I can say that it's stupid, it's ridiculous, but at some point we have to acknowledge the fact that there's a reason they're doing it this way, and it's because The Rock is factually the most important person in this. And I can hate it all I want, and we can hate it all that I want, and it's terrible for pro wrestling, and it's terrible for WWE, but it's The Rock.
Right, so the
No, hold on. What I'm trying to say is, did you ever think you would have a day where The Rock was more available than Roman Reigns to be on TV?
Well, honestly, yes. If you told me the past few years where without The Rock there, that Roman Reigns was never around anyways, and The Rock decided, you know what, I'm going to be here for
the next
3 months.
You're the only one on the planet that isn't surprised by that then.
Well, the only thing I would say is there's context to that. Like, once The Rock joined, like once he became the WWE, well, I don't know that I'm all that surprised by it.
Roman Reigns in his scenario didn't want to be around. I could have pictured a world where The Rock wants to be around. I
couldn't do that until he joined the board. That's where I'm gonna push
okay,
back.
Okay, and that's fair. But there's no world where I could picture Roman Reigns wanting to be around, because he hasn't wanted to be around.
Fair, but again, it required The Rock joining the board. And again, this is the interesting thing about him as a business person is, like, he's still trying to, God bless him, he is still trying to put over the UFL. Like, that thing will ever work. It will never, ever work. Nope. It will forever be, however long they continue to do it, I don't know if they have a secondary goal for this thing. Like, hey, at some point.
No, they're going to become a, they want it to be, I can tell you 100%. They want it to be a minor league for the
NFL. Well, that's what if you let me finish the sentence, like I was going to say that. Like, I don't know if they genuinely believe they can pull that off or not. Like, if they have any reason to think that the NFL will do that. The NFL has made it abundantly clear millions upon millions of times that college football is their minor league, and they're plenty happy with that because they don't have to make any financial investment into college football. So I don't know why they think that this is going to work out, but God bless him. He continues to put, for whatever reason, once The Rock gets involved with something, he is really involved, really involved. So in that way, I can't be all that surprised. But we can't, like, Aaron, when you say something like that, it's like who's the doofus? Darren Rovell is the doofus who tweets about sports business, who has never offered anything to society. He is a walking picture of what Twitter and social media have done to dumb down humanity. Darren Rovell was famous for, like, in the after one of the worst Trump incidents, saying something like, "Yeah, but it's great content," or something like that. We can't just say things like, "Hey, we have to accept this." We don't have to accept that. Like, we don't. There's nothing that requires it. We are not required to say, "Hey, the WWE had to cave to everything they were doing in the name of The Rock." They didn't have to do that. They chose to do that, and they can tell us financially, or The Rock can just tell us financially, why that's the thing that they should, and I'll put that and use that air quotes for it, but we don't have to accept that. The danger is when we just start accepting things and not talking about it. Like, this has been awful. I mean, and it got to a new layer of awful last week because they just went ahead and let The Rock go ahead and be The Rock again. And he was over the top as a face on Friday, despite the fact that he was still kind of trying to act like a heel. And, like, this is the eternal problem when you allow The Rock to be the central figure, is that inherently you're doing it in the era of stars. And every person in that arena was excited that The Rock was there. And with no foil for The Rock there, there was nothing to remind them, we're supposed to boo this guy. We're not supposed to like him. And so on top of a story that you're not telling at all, going into what's supposed to be the most significant moment in WWE in years that you haven't bothered to tell a story about, the secondary story that you are telling, you're now also messing that up on top of it. Like, nothing good, nothing good came from that at all. It was horrible.
You used a word that I didn't use at all, and it's a big one. Should. I never said should. I just said, as soon as The Rock got involved, we knew where this was going. Because we know as soon as The Rock gets involved, where this could go, or where this will go. I think that's a big thing, and it's not even... You're right. Nothing you just said was wrong at all, and we should call it out 100%. But as soon as The Rock got involved, we knew exactly where this was going. We knew exactly... There was no other path for this. Because The Rock... For many, 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 many wrestling fans, is the most important thing you can possibly do. It doesn't matter if you it doesn't even matter if the people love Cody more than The Rock right now. As soon as The Rock gets involved, The Rock is the most important thing, and there's literally nothing you can do to change that fact. So leaning into it, we can argue whether it's good or bad business-wise. We can't even argue if it's good or bad creative-wise, because it's definitely bad, but business-wise we can argue about it. But we know where they were going, because The Rock is The Rock, and that's all they have.
I'm wondering in hindsight if there wasn't a way... I mean, there were... Of course there were. What am I kidding? There were 70 ways they could go about, you know, trying
to do this. Oh, 100%. You could have The Rock Rollins if you really wanted to.
Right. There was, by the way, that's, again, what you've been doing anyway. Like, that's the, it goes back to the problem. Seth Rollins is working a program with The Rock. That's what's happening. You're doing a Rollins Rock program that it's insanity, like what's happening right now. There's a million things they could have done. And again, part of it is clearly the what they thought they were doing, and they thought they were taking Cody out of the equation. But I don't, man.
And man. And we do need to talk about that a little bit. Not that we, like, from all the reports, it does sound like they were planning. I have no idea exactly what this plan was, but it sounds like the plan was, we are, after the Royal Rumble, the plan was Cody was getting taken out by somebody to the extent where at WrestleMania, it would have made more sense for Cody to face that person than the title match.
I mean, who in the
weird, weird as hell.
Who could that possibly be?
I don't know. Orton. Orton's the only answer I can come up with.
And that's why they forced him into this weird three-way match that nobody asked
yeah,
for.
Yeah, the only thing I can come up with that would make sense, because that was a report that Meltzer had at one point, was that Cody was going to have an injury angle. But they weren't going. They were very clearly not going to have an injury angle that would keep him out of WrestleMania, because that would be completely and utterly insane. So the only thing I can think of is that the week after WrestleMania, or sorry, Royal Rumble, or even, you know, if you want to carry it over to another Raw or something like that, Randy Orton was going to take out Cody Rhodes for a month, for whatever. And then you were going to have this match that felt, as far as the storyline goes, as important as the title, as, you know, he would push the Royal Rumble win aside. He was always going to win the Rumble, but something was going to keep him there as far as, okay, I can give this to The Rock. This was going to feel important. Then I could cash it in at SummerSlam or whatever big event it was going to be. And the only one I can come up with is Randy Orton.
I mean, that's insane on its own, right? Like,
it's insane, but is there a world where you could see someone saying it?
Out loud? I mean, I guess if nobody is in the room, like there's nobody else in the room to say, what? Like, you want to do what now? You want to have the guy win the Royal Rumble and be able to have a match at WrestleMania, but not be in the title match at WrestleMania? Say that out loud again. Here, I didn't think the guys in the other room heard that, so they could laugh at it too. Like,
I'm not saying it's smart. I'm not saying it's insane.
Well,
let's make sure
we do say the opposite thing. It's not smart, and it is insane.
Yeah. But could I see someone saying it? Yeah.
I don't know who is saying. Like, is the person that's saying it someone that doesn't know anything? Is it a 6-year-old that's saying it? Like, I can't. If we're at the point where we just say anything, where we're so incapable of doing professional wrestling that, like, we say, you know, maybe we could have had, I'm trying to even think. Maybe we could dig up the corpse of Harley Race and let him win the Royal Rumble. Like, what are we doing?
But believe me. If Triple H could make Killer Kowalski the champion at some point, I would absolutely believe that.
But you get, like, say that out loud in a room of other people, and the other people say, what? Like, what? Why have him win the Rumble?
I don't disagree, but
it's not just
we're here. It made no sense for Cody Rhodes to ever win the Royal Rumble. It made no sense at all. And it happened. It happened.
I just give up, man. I
could see someone overthinking to a degree where they would say, well, if this was real, at some point someone would get hurt before they get their match. Like, if we were trying to pretend like this is real.
But you have to take him out. He's healthy enough to compete at WrestleMania. This math don't math.
No, I mean, I think what they would do is have him run out at WrestleMania.
It would be run out two, three weeks before.
Which means he could run out and say, "Hi, I won the Royal Rumble."
No, I don't think. I thought the report was at WrestleMania.
But that would be completely and utterly insane.
But it's more sane than what you said.
I guess it's all completely sane.
There is no way to have the Royal Rumble winner be able to compete at WrestleMania and not say, right, I'm here, it's WrestleMania, I'm in the championship
match because I won the Royal Rumble. Hold on. That's exactly what I thought they were going to do, though.
Well, Aaron just said he would be facing Randy Orton at WrestleMania.
No. I thought they were literally going to have him run out and then fight for the belt after the other guy already did.
To not advertise Cody Rhodes for WrestleMania.
And challenge him for the next day or something.
Yeah, like what? that's why I'm having, my idea is crazy. Your idea is crazier because it involves Cody Rhodes not officially being involved.
I can see someone in a room saying, well, we have The Rock.
Cody Rhodes is the most important guy right now.
Time out. At the time, they also had CM Punk, so you have to remember that, too.
Yes. Cody Rhodes is more important than CM Punk.
And they advertise him as, like, the way they advertise Steve Austin.
I understand that, but Cody Rhodes is Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes is supposed to be John Cena right now. Could you ever imagine saying, we're not going to say Cody Rhodes is part of, or we're not going to say John Cena is part of WrestleMania. Even when they
advertise him the way you advertise Steve Austin.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, but that's not what you said.
You just said he's not a part of
it. No. You just said he comes in and as a surprise at WrestleMania.
The wrestling part could be a surprise. You could still advertise him.
Okay, if you want to say that he's going to be involved, he's going for like 3 weeks, say he's going to be involved, he's going to be involved, he's going to be involved, right. and then it's just the official title.
Or you could do it like, will he be cleared or won't he be cleared kind of thing.
Okay, that's fine. I thought you were talking about
a surprise. It's all stupid.
Yeah,
but they were going to do something weird, right? Like, I mean, I think it's a fair conversation. Like, what were they going to do? Like, I have no idea. But, like, it is fair. Like, they were going to do something super weird, right?
Yes, if we believe all of the various reports and based on what the storyline was.
I give up, man. what just happened, the two of you going back and forth, is broken me. Like... That neither one of you just said, stop. This is ever-loving insane. What are we talking about?
Well, no, it is insane. I think the conversation isn't they should have done this. I think it's what were they going to do?
It's that if this was a conversation, this whole thing is broken. Everyone is broken.
Why was that on the table?
We have given up the ability to figure out how to professional wrestle.
Yeah, like, none of it should have been on the table.
We don't know what we're doing anymore. The Rock is available.
It breaks our brain. That's what happened.
Right, but it. It's just like when Goldberg was available.
Well, no,
here's the question. When did they know The Rock was available?
I don't know, but it doesn't matter.
The best report I remember seeing is right before the Royal Rumble.
But let's even assume it was when he came out and basically challenged The Rock. Was it 2-3 weeks before the Rumble? That's perfectly logical. He wouldn't have done that if they
came out and challenged The Rock?
Challenge Roman.
See,
when The Rock came out.
So way back when that happened, that's when I said I thought they knew they had him. But
yes, yeah, so two.
That
three
was me pulling that out of my ass. I don't know.
No, well, it's also very reasonable to say when you have The Rock come out and basically challenge. He was challenging Roman. The question was just when was he challenging?
Was that at day one?
I think it was the week after. It was like, so day one would have been I don't think it was the first. Oh, no, it was the first. So first or the eighth or whatever that no, was. Early
what
January.
What was the one where they were teasing the big champ? It was day one, right? We're going to have a big champion.
I think it might have been the week after, but.
No, I don't think that makes sense. I thought that the whole point of it was they wanted day one to feel big. That was the whole. Wasn't that the whole.
Let me go through this. Yep, you're right. It was day one.
Yeah, because the whole conversation was, well, they want to make that a
so,
thing.
So, several weeks before the Rumble. I think it's reasonable to say they knew they had something there.
And when did The Rock join the TKO board?
We don't know the exact date of that.
When did they announce it? It was...
January 23rd, 2024.
So they knew when he said that. I feel pretty safe saying that.
I think that's reasonable. Looking back on it, they knew early to mid-January they had The Rock.
I would tell you guys that I think I like Panic at the Disco's songs more than I like Fall Out Boy's songs. So what is happening right now? Like, what is... Has The Rock broken our brains? Is that what's going on here?
Yes.
I'm so, so confused by the conversation we're having. I don't know. I just was trying to talk about how they're not building their championship matches.
Well, we've been talking about that for 3 weeks, so we had to have a different conversation.
We went down the in the bizarro world. What's the alternative universe where?
No, what would they have done if they didn't pivot back to Cody? I think. But
it does actually. The only thing that I would say that's funny is every now and then I do get that reminder of they're definitely having him win, right?
Right. Fair.
And part of that is because this was not the plan.
Correct. We talked about that last week.
So what?
At least I brought it up. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it just creeps back in every now and then when I'm reminded they're not telling a story. They're not doing anything that makes sense. They're not like.
Here's the difference. I do think the plan was Cody was going to be the one to dethrone Roman. It's just changing the date.
I think you're right about
it was going to be at SummerSlam.
SummerSlam or Paris or Saudi Arabia or whatever other big show.
And again, I think you're right about that. But you guys are laying out paths where they're so irreparably broken by the presence of The Rock that they were planning on having a team win the AFC Championship game but not go to the Super Bowl. So if that's how broken they are by the presence of The Rock, how broken would they be if the next suggestion was, but if we are going to do The Rock versus Roman at SummerSlam, wouldn't it look cooler if he was holding a belt? Like,
well, remember, like, there's reports that The Rock was pushing to beat Roman Reigns at WrestleMania.
So, like, I just don't.
Like, real reports, not Joker reports.
I'm almost certain that they're going to do this. But the part of me that's like, but we still know how to professional wrestle, right? Like, when we have all these conversations, it brings me back to a place of, well, maybe, or maybe they're so irreparably broken by everything that they really are getting to, you know, Donald Trump taking a cognitive test where they're like, man, child, television, like that we really are at the bare Rock, Roman, we're just at this place where there's no thought to, hey, we're supposed to story, we're supposed to pay off, we're supposed to do all of those things, we're lost, and the answer is just rock.
I'm just Ken.
Yeah, it's very much like, but what if there's Rock? You know, like that's He's where beach. We're at. Yes. What if there? But Barbie, what if there's Rock? Like that's what this is starting to feel like. And if that's where we are, then I'd say just about anything is on the table. I would say we could be doing Rock versus Kane at some point later on this year. I mean, we could.
By the way, there was a reputable. Oh God, I gotta find who it was. Somebody said the tentative plan for SummerSlam is Cody versus Roman 3.
What the? Why?
I saw that. I got to find who said that.
I did not see that, to be fair.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Like, look, if you're going to say Cody wins at WrestleMania, Cody has to, you know, you have the rematch because you have to have the rematch with SummerSlam. Oh, okay. There is some wrestling logic in there.
But then why did you interject The Rock into this?
Because you have The Rock. And that's the answer. You can't interject him into anything else.
Yeah.
I give up.
It's always the answer. It's because he's The Rock. Because he's The Rock. That's the answer. He's The Rock.
I got to tell you, man. More than anything else, this conversation has made me think it might be time. It just might be time for me to hit the old dusty trail. Like, it just, it's been a, I would say it's been a good run, but nah,
it's been a run.
It's been a run. It's been a run. It's been a chore. This conversation has really broken me. I don't
We
know.
All know Jey Uso broke you, so this is just breaking.
Well,
you
I was never going to be the. No, that's not true, because Jey Uso only broke me slightly more than the other things that broke me. Like, that.
Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho.
Yeah, it was like, the latest
thing. Roderick Strong on NXT.
It was the biggest of the things that broke me, because none of the other ones were, you know, the greatest story in the history of professional wrestling. Do you guys remember that? Do you remember when they were telling a story?
we had to play the hits.
Do you guys remember, like, story? Is that a... Do we remember story? I feel like I'm Donald Trump now. In terms of story and, and badly.
By the way, hey, they are telling the story. They're doing Jimmy versus Jey.
Right. They are. They are doing that.
Even that one.
Yeah.
Hey, remember when Jey left the Bloodline first?
Right. That
they totally screwed that up.
They have that happened. That was a thing that
let's talk about the fact that Michael Cole is making up so many crazy facts that aren't facts, and he then says this is only the third time brothers have faced and didn't list Kane versus Undertaker. How dare he?
Oh, that's shameful. So wait, who did he list? I missed this. Who did he list?
He listed Matt, Jeff, Owen, Brett, and then this was the third time.
I mean, was there, I guess, okay. I just started to think if there was somebody else that I'd, like, so no, I'm pretty sure that's correct. I think that's accurate. I think those are the only ones.
It's
right?
Incorrect, because Kane versus Undertaker. How dare you?
Kane versus Undertaker. Yeah, they are the Brothers of Destruction. I don't know, man. I don't know, but we're getting that. That's the thing they're going to do, so hey. I don't care, because it's better that Kevin Owens be in a big match than not be in a big match, but that stinks. Like, we gotta.
It's weird.
Oh, no. First of all, it's not weird. Brandon, we texted about it this right after Elimination Chamber, and you were like, oh no, it's just Randy versus Logan Paul. And I was like, I'm pretty sure Kevin Owens is going to be involved as well, if not all five.
But
of
they
them.
Never
so I immediately agreed with you. But like, but no, I'm saying it's weird because like these people are not. It's just throw like they just did it. It's not
thank
like.
You. That's the part that's been, they never attempted to tell a story as to why that was going to be the case. They
because
never
they
did.
They never resolved Logan versus Kevin Owens.
Right, but they didn't attempt to tell that story. They didn't acknowledge that at any point. They just, on one
night. They
just
kept having them fight each other.
On one night said, oh, you're standing there, so now you're in a match.
Yeah,
literally.
Like like, if we think about it, it logically makes sense with what they've done in the past. It's just that, like, you know, like, they told more of a reason why Randy Orton would want to kill Logan Paul than anything else.
They stopped talking.
And they did the bare minimum there, because they don't even have Randy Orton say, you cost me the championship.
Nothing.
They just do stuff.
But they did zero post-chamber related to Kevin Owens being in this match. Legitimately, he is in the match because he was standing there.
And it's sad because they had all the stuff. They just needed the people to say the things.
Anything yeah. at all.
They did all the things. They just need the people to talk about them so that to connect the dots between.
They didn't. Randy Orton could have been one of the Jonas Brothers. He could have been one of any. He could have been part of the Mickey Mouse Club. He just happened to be standing there when an announcement was made about the match. That's it. List of qualifications that were given for why he's in a triple threat match. And it goes back to remember story. Remember how these things.
Remember?
We tell story. Story gives. That's the way this. We don't just say, hey, you're standing there. Go be in the triple threat now. Like. I want to say, hey, but it's. it's Kevin Owens, and so he deserves to be in a big match, and it's WrestleMania, and again, maybe this fakakta thing that you guys threw out about Randy Orton is true, and truthfully, Randy Orton was always the one that was forced. There was a This should have just been Kevin Owens. I can't, my God, the sanctity of the Logan Paul match. Like, always just been Kevin Owens versus Logan Paul, and Randy Orton never should have been involved. That was just, that felt like we don't have anything for Randy, so we got to do something with Randy, which is crazy that the guy only came back a few weeks ago, and we're already at the we don't have anything for Randy point of the conversation. So he's got to be thrown into something else and ruin that. Like, again, remember story, remember wrestling, remember. Oh, God, I give up. I'm sorry.
You know, there's something else here, a match that was coming to fruition over the course of the past week and a half. Why are you going to make me sad that we have a ladder match with all of my favorite people in it?
Like, why sad?
Because of what it could have been.
What could it have been?
R-Truth winning the tag titles, like, in a storytelling way.
Yeah.
And doing the John Cena bit.
Even without the John Cena bit, I agree with you. The problem is that
I like all these people.
Would you rather have all these people in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal?
I mean, no. I know.
Hang on.
Why is this different?
Yeah, fair.
Hey, look, if you want to say that this isn't different, I won't really argue.
It's different because you're going to get all the spots of people
doing
all the things. You don't get that in a battle royal. That's the difference.
But this, I guess my question would be, why are they afraid of also doing a match to determine the number one? There's two nights of WrestleMania. You could do a championship match on night one, and on night two, you could have your ladder match to determine the next number one contender for the championship match.
Or you could have also separated the damn belts.
Right, and had two different champions. I mean, what a crazy thought. Like, I don't know, and this is a WrestleMania issue. The default is always just throw a lot of people in one match.
I think my guess is they heard all the criticism about the Andre the Giant Battle Royal being on SmackDown. It's like, really, you're going to do this instead? And they're like, okay, instead of having the Andre the Giant on SmackDown, we're going to have all these people on WrestleMania proper.
You say that. How can you tell me they're not still doing that?
What people do they have?
Well, okay, let's talk about this, because that's a relevant question, because what I was about to say before you said that is I just saw that apparently WrestleMania, now keep in mind, the currently number of announced matches is 9.
If you want to say that they're going to throw all of the non-announced matches into the Andre the Giant, okay. Okay.
No, but hold on. I'm sorry, not 9. There's 10 announced matches. There's supposed to be 4 more.
Yes.
Who is that going to be?
Well, either Andrade Rey or LWO versus Legato.
They're not going to do Andrade Rey, right?
I mean, not
Santos Rey.
Santos Rey, sorry.
Oh, okay.
So some form of that, with presumably either all of them involved or all of them at ringside. So you have all of them on WrestleMania. You have some form of Lashley Cross or...
Oh, God.
The Authors of Pain group, yes.
The Pride versus what do you call it? The final whatever.
Yeah.
So you have those matches. Like, if you take
women's tag titles,
sure,
certainly not. Well, yeah, I mean, like, yes. In fact, they almost kind of have to, because they have to address the fact that they ended the last. Yes, is my answer.
So that's 3.
So okay, take out the people we just talked about. So take out the LWO, take out Legado, take out Street Profits and Lashley, take out Cross and the Authors of Pain. Other than like Chad Gable, who do you have in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal at the moment?
I'm trying to pull up the roster to see.
I was doing the same thing.
I got to be honest with you, man.
Like the people who lose who lost the tag team qualifiers. That's what you're talking about right now.
Yeah, Shinsuke Nakamura, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure, Ricochet. Shinsuke.
Yep. So the people who lost either the Intercontinental qualifier or the tag team qualifiers.
Bronson Reed. Yeah,
Andrade.
There certainly is enough to do.
Austin Theory.
If you want like a 15-person battle royal, fine.
I think there's more people on the roster than you think.
Maybe there is.
Braun Strowman could be back. You got Cameron Grimes. You've got the Creeds. You've got Bronson Reed.
Cameron Grimes existed on the main roster.
And by the way, you're pretending like they aren't just going to throw those LWO guys in there if they're just on the side of the ring for that match. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's fair.
If they're in the match, different story. But, I mean, they've got, you know, your Cedric Alexanders of the world.
Yeah, that's the big storyline in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal is whatever stable feud you have. Look,
aren't there other Judgment Day guys that aren't in the tag team thing?
If it's
Finn and Damian, you could put Dom in there.
JD and Dom in there.
Mm-hmm. You have the Viking Raiders or whichever one's not hurt. You've got
there's enough. There's enough.
There's plenty. NXT people if you want, you know.
Yeah. There's enough. Yeah, you've made your
point. Or you could do a women's one.
You could do a women's.
You'd have way more women performers that are doing nothing.
That
right?
would make more sense. I mean, they haven't done since 2019 as you brought up last week or the week before, but yes, you could.
All right, can we?
You could have Candice LeRae win it and pay off whatever the hell is happening there.
Can we just talk about AEW for a minute and wrap? It's 1 a.m. I gotta go. Okay.
I do want to say before we go to AEW really quick. Just really really fast because it dawned on me this week what everything with Roxanne was. I have an answer for the Roxanne thing.
You do?
I think I do, actually.
Tell me.
So the whole, for the past year, the whole Roxanne thing was they figured out she can be the plucky baby face. She can be the champion. And they didn't know what else she could be. So the past 12 months have been figuring, like, basically testing her on what she can be. Like, that's the only thing that makes sense of anything we've seen with Roxanne. And it's something that they used to do. You know, we heard the bit about, you know, before everything about him, the Patrick Clark becoming Velveteen Dream and testing out some other things on the house show circuit, which we're about right now, simply because they know he could be really, really good and they wanted to test him. This whole year of Roxanne has been them testing her because they know what she can be and they want it, because this is the only thing that makes sense at this point.
I mean, I think you could make the same argument for Bron Breakker to a degree.
Potentially.
I think you're giving them too much credit. I just do.
Giving them credit. I think he's trying to say they're throwing spaghetti at the wall with these people.
No, spaghetti. It's literally that they, you know, Roxanne was Ring of Honor champion before she came to NXT. They knew what she could, and they then, you know, kind of continued that. And they were just like, okay, if she's going to be on the main roster, she needs to learn to do more than just be the plucky baby face. So we're going to throw it at the wall. Just like with Patrick Clark, it was, I mean, I don't know if you guys remember this, but before he debuted as the Velveteen Dream, he was a MAGA character. He was literally wearing Donald Trump on his tights because they wanted to figure out how he could react to that sort of thing. And this just kind of feels like it for Roxanne, is how do you react to all of these different things? How do you react to that?
I mean, I don't know what to say. Is it possible? I guess. Sometimes I think what happened is they showed up that day and said, I think Brandon's way of saying is literally just throwing anything at the wall is about as likely as there being an actual plan for we want to test her and we want to have her do all these different things. Is it? I can't tell you it's not possible. Of course it's possible, but it's everything about, again, we don't, this is a company that doesn't know how to story. So like me buying in that they have this like plan of let's have her do 40 different things. Okay, maybe, or maybe they just legitimately have no idea what they're doing and wake up one day and say, go do this thing, and wake up another day and say, go do this thing. Like, maybe. I don't know that I think any of it is like, that's, you do that on house shows, man. Like, you put the NXT on television. The moment you put NXT on television, you had an obligation to do a television show. And I'm tapped out on Roxanne Perez for the most part, which is a real shame because I think she's very talented.
And that's why it makes no sense.
It's exhausting.
She's so talented. She should be the chosen one. She should be the prodigy thing is, you know, what she should be. She should be the next big thing. And for whatever reason, they chose for a year for it to be, and it's just gotten worse and worse and worse and worse as it's going.
Yeah, I'm exhausted. I really am. I'm exhausted by it. I got very little left in me for Roxanne Perez at the moment, which is not, she's 20. Imagine saying that sentence. She's 22 years old, and I'm exhausted by her.
Yes,
like it sucks.
It's why it's the only. It's the only thing that look, and it's possibly that just. We go back to this over and over. The answer is we shouldn't give them as much credit as they should.
Yeah, I think it's wild that it's 5 minutes ago you were suggesting, again, I want to make this clear, that their plan was to have someone win the American League pennant but not play in the World – sorry, play in the World Series but not compete for the championship at the World Series. You want to give the same company credit for having this like thought out plan for what was best for Roxanne Perez. And I just can't join you there. Like I hear you. I just can't join you. All right. Let's talk about AEW for a minute. Brandon commented to me that it is funny that Mercedes
the broadcast said they don't know what to say.
What? And that's only the start of, like, it's wearing thin and it's already week. It's only week two. It's week two and it's already wearing thin. The CEO shtick is as bad as it was in week one.
Horrific.
It's awful. The music's awful. It's not hitting. It's so confusing as to what they're trying. What are they trying to tell in this story with Willow Nightingale? What is this? The only story that made sense was a story where it was a respect match. This is awful. Sacrificing Willow Nightingale in the name of the person whose name you don't know is badass. Like,
well, I'll take it a step further. Like, with the footage they showed and stuff, it's almost like they were trying to sell you on the fact that Willow only won that match because she was hurt, and that's even worse.
It's kneecapping Willow Nightingale for no reason.
Yeah, it's not just trying to give her a heat back. It's like trying to delegitimize her original victory as well.
Bingo.
Like,
what
on earth?
You are sacrificing Willow Nightingale for, again, what? Like, this is, can we decide how we're going to pronounce her name? Can we make a choice?
Monet.
She says, yeah. Mercedes Monet.
That's exactly what she said. Because she wants it to sound like money.
Right.
Yeah. Mercedes, I'm saying Monet.
That's what a week ago I thought it was. Yeah. But whatever. So Mercedes does not need any of this. It was worthy of revisiting because it was a big moment for Willow. But it absolutely is not worthy of kneecapping Willow. Like, it's that, in a way, is the AEW story. We're going to tell you that we're building someone up, but ultimately, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to see it through. We're not, there's going to be no end to that whatsoever.
How dare you? They're building Hook right now and didn't let Jericho beat Hook.
It's a good point. It's a good point. Yeah,
I'll be honest. I really thought they were going to have Jericho win.
I did too.
Me too. But wait, before we move on from Mercedes, though, we have to say the thing.
There's many things to say.
There's a really big thing to say. And it's not a new thing. She has never been.
Oh, yeah, she struggled. Yeah, the promo was a struggle.
She has never been the give the microphone to this person for 15 minutes person.
Yeah, no, she's been a great character, a great foil, a great presence, and less of, as you said, you don't give her the you know, you let her go back and forth.
What she's good at, and I'm not.
You let her go back and forth.
I don't want to cut her down. I like Mercedes, but like, this has never been her strength, and I don't understand why this happens. Like, why do they just put a person out there that they know can't do this? Like, we've all seen it. I don't know what they didn't watch the other show. I mean, it was not good. Like, really not good.
No, it wasn't. You're right. It was not good. And it's not just the flubs. It's not just the... You almost don't know what the coherent thought was supposed to be. What was the overall statement that you were supposed to make other than just saying CEO over and over again?
Yeah, what is the Mercedes Moné character right now?
Moné.
The Mercedes Moné character.
I don't know why that was so funny.
I don't know.
It's 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, we gotta go, man. We gotta go.
What is the character right now?
I don't know. Yeah, what you're saying is that she actually presents more heelish than she does face, but I don't know.
I wasn't even going that far. I was just genuinely like, I don't understand what she is right now.
Right. Well, also, like, imagine even a year ago. If I told you you were going to be in a situation where if you tried to put Mercedes against Toni Storm and that she would be eaten alive.
You're talking to the wrong people there. Yes.
No. Character wise.
How dare you, sir? How dare you?
How dare you? I mean, like, that would be like scary for like that she wouldn't be able to handle it. Like, that's where I am with this. Like, you cannot put those two people. And in theory, those are your two biggest female stars because Britt Baker doesn't exist.
Right, but they're going a different way. They're lining this up for her to, again, they are going to sacrifice Willow, and then she's going after Julia Hart. Like, they're not.
Wonderful.
They're not pointing her to Toni Storm.
Not yet, but like, again, this goes back to the conversation we've had over the years.
We thought Jade and Britt Baker were going against each other, and that never happened.
Yeah, never happened. Never happened. Yep. I've got nothing else to say about this particular show. Don Callis showed up.
I was going to say, what about the Don Callis? Like, you actually come on, have...
Okada legitimized the championship.
Right, Okada won a... They forced a fake belt onto Okada, too, so...
And how dare you deprive Adam Copeland of this huge win?
Ah, what a massive win. What a wonderful moment for everybody involved. Spike, the whole... Can we go? Can we talk about... Can we? I'll talk more Hot Mulligan if you'd like to do that. They're good. They're really, really good. Brandon, here's how highly I'll praise Hot Mulligan. Finch-esque. Like,
oh.
That's how highly I'll praise Hot Mulligan.
Very
like, cool. Wow.
There's a special there. Unlike.
How would you compare them to Tony D'Angelo?
somebody plug something. I gotta. I get it. Hey,
by
you
the
know
way,
what?
Did you know that Rolling Stone did a list of the top 50 pop punk albums of all time? Number one would be Dookie by Green Day, according to them.
Sure. Dookie?
Yeah, I was going to say that was a weird Dookie. Bit right there.
I've always pronounced it Dookie. Dookie.
Why?
I don't know.
Because I'm from Central Pennsylvania. God
okay.
damn it.
All
right. Blink 182, Enema of the State, number two.
Sure.
The Ramones, Rocket to Russia, number three.
Sure, that's number
three. Pop punk?
They count some like Descendants, Milo Goes to College.
Yeah, cool. I don't know what this is. And you know what? I think everybody knows that I stopped reading that rag when they got rid of their finest writer, Aaron Oster. I'll never read that
rag. Wait, hold on. It's really important. You need to know who number five is.
I can't wait. It's Fallout Boy.
Fallout Boy. Take it. Great.
Burn it. Burn it with fire.
God. Come out to Circa. Come out to Vegas. Follow me on Twitter at the A Oster.
Thank you.
I've got a lot of stuff to plug this week, actually.
Go.
Pick one.
Okay, three things quickly. Ugh. Queen Herbie is coming to Ramsey Live on June 8th. Just announced that one. Tickets on sale next week. We just announced a show at Power Plant Live with the Used and Story of the Year. That's on July 9th. And we announced a show at the Chesapeake Employers Insurance Arena on June 25th with A Day to Remember. Mm. The story so far. 4 years strong and more. Tickets for that one are on sale as you listen to this. RamsHeadLive.com can get you to most of those things, or Chesapeake Employers Insurance Arena.com for A Day to Remember, or you can just go to Ticketmaster.com for those tickets. And as always, and more show announcements at Ramshead Live on Instagram and Twitter. And as always, I am at Brandon Linton on Twitter, and I assume you'll do the Let's Go Festival.
Well, that's my thing that I'm
that's
excited.
Why would you assume
why
that
would
you wouldn't? Because it's his.
Right. It's my thing. I'm just very excited about this festival that's coming. It's called the Let's Go Music Festival. It's at the Anne Arundel County Fairgrounds. And I'm just really excited about going and seeing Taking Back Sunday and Dashboard Confessional, who definitely should have albums higher on that list than that effing Fallout Boy.
I think they'd be on the emo list.
Yeah, fine, whatever you want to call it. Bush, Daughtry, Our Lady Peace, of course, the main headliner of the weekend. That's who everybody's there to see, much like everybody was at the show the other night to see Jimmy Eat World. So go to letsgofest.com, the Let's Go Festival coming up that weekend. I guess it's the final weekend of May/the first weekend of June. I'm at Glenn Clark Radio. Hey, thank you to – look at these two good guys. Brandon and Aaron both got in the bracket contest. Two good guys here. A lot of good guys. I got to do all the math, but I think we hit $500.
There we go.
That we raised for Show Your Soft Side, an amazing animal charity. So as much as I was broken by professional wrestling, I was really broken by these two. I do have to say they are also heroes and good guys, and they got in and they donated. So thank you to all of you who got in. I'll sort all that out and have the final number in the next couple of days, because I always have to go through and figure out if somebody didn't pay. It's a whole weird thing. But I think
you know I'm a good guy, because I sure shit don't expect to win. So,
well, in fairness, Aaron actually knows who some of these teams are, and I don't think he's ever won our bracket contest.
No, I did. So. I won two or three. There were a few years
ago. You won one?
I did win one.
All right. Aaron won one. Fair enough.
Yep.
So yes, thank you for all for doing that. Glenn Clark Radio, glennclarkradio.com. For me, at AJ Francis 410 for him.
Real quick on him, you might have seen a clip of him going around an MLW where he catches and slams the one Mr. Thomas. And the reason this is important, he used to go by one of the greatest names in wrestling history, Blaster McMassive.
I do love Blaster McMassive. I do love
And he teamed with Flex Rumble Crunch.
Those are such good names. They're wonderful.
I'm dead serious about this.
God.
One of the greatest tag team names in history. They were the Devastation Corporation in Shikara. It was Blaster McMassive and Flex Rumble Crunch.
Oh, that's phenomenal. That's really phenomenal. All right. For Brandon, for Aaron, and for the main event.
Vent.
AJ Francis, I'm Glenn Clark. This has been Jobbing Out.
Let me go.
I've broken. I have nothing else to say here. I have nothing else to... I chimed in with you. Haven't you ever heard of... I like that a lot better. A lot better.
How did you not say I'm broken in a super emo way?
Or in a Matt Hardy way. You should be broken, Glenn Clark.
No. Emo, I'm broken.
I'm broken when I'm... I don't even know the words to that song, actually, now that I think about it. I don't want to see... till I'm gone.